Argentina's elections, another blow for Beijing. Commentary. The election of libertarian economist Javier Milei to the Argentine presidency on November 19 may not transform Argentina's economic fortunes overnight. Still, it certainly confirmed a further strategic setback for communist China's influence in the Euro-Atlantic sphere. It was another in a series of setbacks around the world that Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping has experienced in recent weeks and months, particularly after his charm offensive toward the United States, culminating in a meeting with U.S. President Joe Biden during the APEC summit in San Francisco this month, which immediately fizzled to nothing. The resounding election of Mr. Milei wipes out much of Beijing's years of work to develop strategic relations with Buenos Aires, critical to the CCP's military space programs and some aspects of its access to Antarctica. Even if the Milei administration cannot remove the CCP's extraterritorial claims on sites in Argentina, expanding them will certainly be difficult. The Chinese regime has several significant extraterritorial holdings in Argentina, where no Argentinians are permitted entry, which play a key role in Beijing's military and global positioning system space programs. The terms of the treaties on these bases are such that China could call in Argentina's loans if Buenos Aires attempted to end the Chinese base there. But Beijing's plans to hold British and U.S. forces hostage in the Euro-Atlantic space by raising military concerns there are now substantially reduced, even assuming the Chinese regime is still, in its weakened state, economically capable of continuing its present course of strategic action against Taiwan and the West. Mr. Milei had reiterated, in his election campaign and on his victory, the Argentina mantra that the British-owned Falkland Islands were rightfully the possession of Argentina. But he clearly said that military conflict was not an option for Argentina on the Falklands issue and that diplomatic negotiations were the only way. The UK government, however, immediately rejected any consideration of accepting Argentina's claim to the strategically placed islands. He could not have signaled an end to the Argentine-UK military confrontation more clearly. But he could not have expressed a no-war situation over the Falklands more clearly, even if he wished. So he said what he had to say to satisfy the Argentine electorate. UK Defence Secretary Grant Shapps said what he had to say about the permanence of British sovereignty over the Falklands. Beijing, however, had been pushing the previous government of President Alberto Angel Fernandez to escalate military pressure on the Falklands and to reassert Argentina's claims forcefully in order to coerce the United Kingdom to maintain major defense elements in the Euro-Atlantic sphere to deal with such a contingency. That would help reduce British force deployments in the Indo-Pacific and against China. But what of Mr. Milei's plans to revitalize the Argentine economy and strategic position? He faces a significant impediment from the fact that he does not command the Chamber of Deputies or Senate. The outgoing Peronista must be expected to do everything in their power to undermine Mr. Milei's proposed reforms. If Mr. Milei has been compared with former U.S. President Donald Trump, then he needs to expect the kind of ruthless response from the Peronista that President Trump received from the combination of the U.S. Democratic Party and the Washington bureaucratic establishment. This should be evident from the fact that Mr. Milei won the election against former Economy Minister Sergio Massa, who was still able to win some 44% of the vote even though he and his government had presided over inflation levels of more than 140% and the absolute decimation of the Argentine peso. It showed the political reality that party loyalty often transcended self-interest. So Argentinians went to the polls on October 22 to elect a president, vice president, 130 of the 257 seats of the Chamber of Deputies, 24 of the 72 Senate seats, and the governors of most of the provinces. The initial slate for the presidency was 5 candidates. No candidate won an overall majority of the votes, necessitating a second round of the presidential component of the election to be held on November 19. Eliminated in the first round were former Security Minister Patricia Bullrich, Córdoba Provincial Governor Juan Schiaretti, and Buenos Aires Province National Deputy Miriam Bregman. This left the second round to be contested by Minister of the Economy Sergio Massa, 51, from the Union for the Homeland, who took 36% of the first round vote, and Mr. Miliai, 53, a national deputy from the capital city of Buenos Aires, from Partido Libertario, part of La Libertad Avanza Alliance, who took 30% of the first round votes. In the second round, however, the impact of Argentina's precarious economic condition, blamed on the outgoing Peronista government, particularly Mr. Massa, caused a landslide win for Mr. Miliai and his running mate, Victoria Villarruel. Together, they carried 20 states, plus the autonomous city of Buenos Aires, while Mr. Massa and his running mate, Agustin Rossi, had only 3 provinces. Overall, the Miliai ticket took 55.69% of the vote, compared with the Massa ticket taking 44.31%. As a result, Mr. Miliai and Ms. Villarruel were scheduled to be sworn into office on December 10. Before that, however, Mr. Miliai said that he would visit neighboring Uruguay to discuss tariff issues and would also visit New York and then Israel before being sworn into office. Without control of the Federal Congress, Mr. Miliai's more radical proposed reforms would face severe parliamentary opposition. He would have to use executive orders where he could to circumvent the Congress to achieve his reforms. It must be assumed that, where possible, China would use its resources to support the Peronista in curtailing the Miliai administration. Mr. Miliai could expect little support from Washington, given that the United States will hold a presidential election in 2024 and the incumbent administration would be unwilling to give Mr. Miliai support for the simple reason that he was regarded as an ally of former President Trump, a Republican presidential aspirant. The Miliai administration, too, was unlikely to win widespread support in South America, where most governments had strong ties with China and were opposed to Mr. Miliai's free market economics. An electoral win in the United States by President Trump in November 2024 could, if it happened, give some impetus to the Miliai government, and so, too, could a collapse or contraction of CCP influence in the Western Hemisphere. In the meantime, it should be expected that the Miliai administration may begin by introducing a partial dollarization of the economy, allowing some official use of the US dollar to help stabilize the marketplace. He may also be able to position Argentina's now very low labor costs and high educational levels to make foreign investment in manufacturing appealing to foreign investors. But from a strategic perspective, the Argentine elections should be seen as one of the 2023 factors that ended the high-water mark of communist China's global growth.